The next section of the agenda is public comments. The time now is 12:15, and we understand lunch is going to begin being served in about 15 to 20 minutes. I hope no one in the audience will take offense if board members quietly, once lunch is served, go over, get their lunch, and come back, trying to give as much attention to the speakers as you can at all times. We're a little bit behind on our schedule, but for about the next 20 minutes, you have our undivided attention. The first person, we're going to ask that each person speak for 2 minutes. Will somebody make a sign for 30 seconds that we can hold up so people have a sense of how much time they have left? And actually, Michael, if you could just say on the mic when they're done, when time is, that would help us. And the first person on the list is Nalini Lasiewicz. Did I pronounce that right, Nalini?
Hi there. I'm a KPFK member and listener since the 1960s. My mother was a jazz-loving beatnik, so I've been around the station for a long time. I've been collecting a lot of historical documents on the organization for the last 5 years, and before lunch, I'm going to set up a few of the archives. One of them I just want to show you real quick. This is the 1960s Elliott Mintz bumper sticker, which is very groovy.
Can we see?
I've got a whole lot of things I'm going to cover or try to cover, so I'm just going to fly through these. I'm kind of addressing the audience because one of my most important requests of the PNB is that we extend the term limits for the PNB because 1 year really isn't an effective amount of time to learn what the job is and then to get something meaningful done. So I'm assuming there's some future PNB members in the audience. My first comment is to the executive director, and you know, thanks for all of his efforts. And I don't mean to demean his efforts and his work in any way, but you know, after 14 months, he's announced his resignation, and it's my feeling that this is creating a management void, which is continuing a very serious management void that's been in the organization for several years now. My concern is the fact that we are coming up on about a 3-year time frame of our new membership structure, and the time has come to take a very objective and factual look at what can be done, you know, whether or not this structure is working for us. And we've invested a lot of time with Greg learning our history, meeting our staff, and I'm sorry that he won't be here to implement the recommendations that he's already given us. Worse than Greg's leaving, I believe, is the fact that the PNB hired an executive director knowing that he had no intention or very little intention to stay for a long time. This is something I really didn't expect, and I hope in your next hire that you take that into consideration. The bylaws, I think that on the local level, you're considering a 4-year term, and I think that's very bad for Pacifica. We already have a lot of LSB members that are tired and burnt out and ineffective. This is a network-wide problem, and rather than continue the same people for another several years, I'd like to see some new people be allowed to come in. We have some members on our KPFK board who are going to have to be termed out because of a calendar when they started, and I'd like to see some leniency on that. Time. I had a lot more to say, and sorry it was so quick. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Kelly Barnes.
Hi, Kelly Barnes, KPFK Newsroom, and I also file for Free Speech Radio News. I'll make it fast. I'm speaking to yesterday's philosophy discussion. About 2 years ago, the KPFK Newsroom began to provide traffic reports, just like everybody else, that spoke to drivers alone in their cars about how to game the system and beat the crowds, pollute the environment, and utilize highways that everyone pays for but not everyone uses, highways that bisect low-income communities. I think it's time to take back those airwaves and reclaim the top of the hour and provide the people's transit reports. Global warming, the have-not divide of car ownership, the politics of getting a driver's license for our brothers and sisters who are undocumented, and the complete lack of dialogue between those who take public transportation and those for whom it never crosses their minds. These are all reasons to start something new and do something revolutionary in the medium and to be a leader. Transit headlines, locally produced, can be a part of a national theme and branding effort Lydia and others are talking about at Commercial Free Pacifica. Those breaks that we take on the air can be used for community building. Knowing that a big part of the listenership is people alone in cars, we even sickly call it drive time, but that is an opportunity to talk to choice riders, as well as the transit dependent, and begin the journey to change behaviors, perceptions, the socialized costs of driving alone. Margaret and others talk about bringing up new talent. Sherna talks about the need to use professional audio equipment, and these transit headlines are the perfect training ground for anyone who wants or needs exposure to working with a field pack. What could be more succinct than asking someone how they got to school, work, or the LA theater, as he just said, by talking to people one by one, asking them how they did it on public transportation. Armando spoke about the staff needs with each new initiative, and with a model that is inclusive and producing near evergreen segments, this is doable in the short term. We could have a bank of these segments pre-recorded, we could provide transcripts to read, we can pre-produce it, and or we can do it real time. There are many ways to operationalize the 30 seconds to 1 minute for real time. For example, if the 405 northbound and the Sepulveda Pass is slow going, what a surprise. Time. We can offer an alternate route with public transportation, complete with end-to-end times. We can focus on people traveling to a certain large employer or university time. Or the beach and provide alternatives. The time to act is now. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Why don't you sit over here, Michael, because it's going to be easier for people to see you over here. Oh, she's got a... We got your sign. We just need your body.
Okay, the next person is Steve Brown.
Good afternoon. Each year we hear that Pacifica is having difficulty raising money, and that's correct. The best solution to raising money has not yet been tapped. It's never even been investigated. I know I make this proposal every year, but nothing ever happens. The Pacifica now has about 100,000 paid members. Paid members worth about $150 a year to the foundation. But it has approximately 1.2 million listeners who never pay anything to the foundation. If we could convert just 10% of those listeners to members, we would gain about $18 million, or double the foundation's income for almost no expenditure of money. It's not hard to do. They can't be recruited over the air. We know this because otherwise after 50 years they would all be members by now, but they are not. They can only be recruited by direct mail, by email, and by telephone. And there are very standard ways of doing this, except we have to get the phone numbers, the addresses, and the email addresses of these people. And because it takes coordination between the program director, the website, the business manager, and the programmers, it's not been able to be done because generally it's very difficult to get these groups of people to work together in any sustained manner. But there are very easy and standard ways of making this conversion of listeners to members by making them identify themselves. And if any program directors are interested, I'll be happy to talk with them about how to do it. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next person is Israel Foyer.
Thank you. I've been around KPFK since the very beginning, as I mentioned yesterday. I feel that way sometimes myself, actually. It reminds me that Roy often plays Krishnamurti as well as Alan Watts, both of whom I knew personally many years ago. Recently, though, after Krishnamurti died, one of his aides, his cook, in a talk I heard in Hollywood, said, shortly before he died, he said to some of his followers at a meeting, you know, none of you really have understood me. And I feel just as Karl Marx, to jump very fast, once said, je ne suis marxiste. I'm not a Marxist, referring to people who used his name as a follower. I often hear KPFK, Pacifica, and the mission statement used in all kinds of manners far removed from the founders, which is not to say that everything the founders said and did is in cement, can't be changed, but some things are valid. I wrote some time ago, here I said, KPFK is a radio station, not a political party, a religious cult, a business enterprise, or a private club. Pacifica is an educational foundation, nonprofit, non-commercial, nonpartisan, non-sectarian, and that's what it should remain. I think that's still valid and relevant. We need, I think, an ombudsperson, a mediation, conflict resolution, in-house people. I've said this for 20 years to no avail. No one's ever disagreed. They said, well, after the fund drive or next year, of course, they're gone. The history is forgotten, and the pattern repeats itself. Because managers and staff shouldn't be all the time. We all have problems, but how we deal with them is another. We need people who are competent, professional, objective, fair-minded, clear-minded to deal with this. And this shouldn't be the job of the ED or the GM, even when they're involved, especially when they're involved, as a matter of fact. We also need, I think, more to emphasize. Greg mentioned dialogue. Well, I've been saying this for years. We need dialogue, not diatribe. We need debate, not debasing of people. And those are words, but to implement that, we need to examine ourselves and our history, set aside some time to actually study our history, to improve our processes of meetings, as I mentioned yesterday about the PNB. I hope I'll get some response on that, some follow-up. And one final thing, I'm delighted at the honoring of the three people here today, but one person has been forgotten, I hope will be remembered later on, who's still living, still active, namely Ruthie Buell, who I believe has been longer in programming than anybody on this station, unless my memory is really getting bad. Time. And I hope she'll be honored as well at a later date. Anyhow, we need to learn from our past, live in the present, and plan for the future, and this board needs to do better in how it uses its time and its resources, and that applies to local boards as well. Right. That means setting aside some time outside of meetings to deal with these things. Thank you.
Thank you, Israel. For those who didn't catch her, Uncle Ruthie was on the air this morning, as a matter of fact, right? Next is Ian Masters.
Group reading.
I'm here to comment on the focus station of this PNB meeting, KPFK, and to second Roy Tuckman's remarks. For many decades, KPFK was both reviled and revered because, in the spirit of the original Pacifica mission statement, we provided news and information not heard anywhere else. And while this annoyed the mainstream establishment majority, it gave strength and purpose to a progressive minority. But perhaps our greatest strength was that we turned out to be right on all the great issues that roiled the country: civil rights, human rights, racial equality, labor rights, social justice, and opposition to illegal wars and genocidal weapons. We were proud when listeners would constantly tell us they heard things on KPFK that they never heard anywhere else. We, a group of composed mainly of programmers, ask you to face the fact that KPSK has lost 25% of its subscription base, which has shrunk from 23,000 in 2002 to 17,000 in 2007. If the station's projections of 10 listeners per subscriber are correct, this means we have lost 60,000 listeners, one quarter of our audience, since 2002. All this happened during the increasingly unpopular wars of George W. Bush's polarizing presidency.
The last Arbitron ratings tell the story in hard numbers. Many of our loyal listeners are migrating in droves to Air America and NPR, as Roy Tuckman told you. And we have attached data if you're interested in having it. If, as has been rumored, the CPB changes its funding mechanism for other stations, this trend may adversely affect KPFK's bottom line. Most importantly, we expect a minimum of professionalism in prioritizing the maintenance of our greatest asset, our transmitter, one of the most powerful broadcasting signals west of the Mississippi. We are deeply concerned that the footprint of our signal has continued to shrink over the years, in spite of the addition of 98.7 FM translator in Santa Barbara, where the main donor for the translator in that city still can't get a signal. It is shameful that KPCC, with less than 1/100th of our signal, has doubled its audience and is heard all over Los Angeles, while at the same time, KPFK, according to Arbitron, has lost 42,000 listeners from 2003 and can't be heard in Cahuenga Pass, less than a mile from the station.
Those who defend the current manager say that she is adept at fundraising, but the numbers prove otherwise. The only way we are now meeting the financial goals of our fund drives is by squeezing more out of the few loyal donors and extending them to as long as 3 weeks. Not only that our most successful recent fund drives was in February 2007, but when the GM was absent, until the final 3 days. This is incontrovertible that the general manager was absent from her job for over 5 months on paid leave in 2006. Likewise, it is untenable that the general manager of a community radio station feels entitled to squander listeners' money on limousines, expensive meals, luxury hotels, all of which can be documented. In response, the GM uses the race and gender card as a defense. The truth is that the station's problems have little to do with racism and sexism, but everything to do with mismanagement and unaccountability. One might think that these bills of particulars would be enough to bring about the end of the GM. Can I just put it here? Pardon? Excuse me for those moments. Okay. One might think that these bills of particulars would be enough to bring about the end of the GM's tenure, but there's more.
Hi. The unionized paid staff recently took a vote of no confidence in the GM, which passed by more than 2-to-1 margin. When grievances were brought by both paid and unpaid staff to the GM, virtually nothing was done to address them, and the management has failed to address the access concerns of people with disabilities. In sum, we fear that, in spite of growing potential audience from increasing opposition to the Bush administration, as KPFK becomes more isolated and irrelevant to the community, some other well-financed entity, such as a Christian broadcaster, will challenge the station's license before an increasingly conservative FCC. The GM has made a number of promises which, had they been fulfilled, would have solved the problems. But when the time came for action, she did nothing. What then do we want? Nothing short of a change in management will do. I hereby request that this document, and as it was read by the three people preceding me, be made part of the official minutes and record of this meeting. Thank you.
Before we proceed, I'm going to take one indulgence and then ask our attorney to speak. And that is, several of the people who just spoke referenced changes in numbers relative to a prior year. The previous administration used to do the same thing, referencing every statistic that they cared to talk about to a anomalously low year. The 2002 year that's been referenced was an anomalously high year. Just so everybody is clear, prior to or the peak subscribership during the prior administration, prior to the IPMB, was 13,800. And I am perfectly willing to look at any statistics that indicate a change, but if you want to look at Arbitron numbers, you have to look at a rolling average over several comparable quarters and look at trends, and you also need to compare it to trends in radio generally. That is not to argue the underlying point of whether listenership is eroding or not, but if we're going to use numbers and statistics like that, and I'm perfectly willing to sit with anybody and go over the numbers, let's get a strong number so we really know what's happening, because people tend to use numbers however they want. And I just would recommend that in all of our considerations. I want to recognize our attorney.
Okay, thank you.
This is public comment.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. I think you're out of order, actually.
You
need to be addressed. But I think what the chair would like me to emphasize is that fair debate on practices, success, failures, policies, and procedures is always in order during these discussions. People should both from the point of view of civility as well as protecting the rights of employees, refrain from making personal attacks on members of staff or members of the board. That's all I wanted to say. Thank you.
The next person is John Doe 2, a close relative, I think, of John Doe 1, who spoke yesterday.
Our technical director made reference to the Edsel. The Edsel was actually a very well-designed car. It didn't have.
I knew it was.
It didn't have any way to sell. It didn't have anybody to sell to. Satellite radio, which has now been condensed to one provider, last I checked, is a very well-designed system. It doesn't have an audience in the long run. I've been sitting in the film industry on and off for 50 years, hearing about the dismissal of film. I think there are things we should get rid of. The Ottoman cycle engine is killing us. The Freon-based refrigeration is killing us. We have very simple replacements that were there long before either of those two technologies. Many, many technologies need to be kicked out. Obviously, the production of plutonium to boil water and get the ratepayers to pay for weapons-grade plutonium, the nuclear industry has to go. The idea that the AM radio, which does not require the knowledge of the listener or the acknowledgement of the listener, is not dying, and I'm tired of hearing it. Our air conditioners are junk. The technology of the station, such as doors and switches, the fluorescent lighting is junk. For our station is going down the drain for obvious reasons. People want to move. People want to get rid of it. My neighbor pays $600 a year for her home. It's a two-bedroom, one-bath, three-bedroom, beautiful house on a nice piece of property with a lawn in front and a lawn in back. Her cost to stay there is $600 a year.
Time.
We have the same issue with our physical plant. It costs us nothing to stay there.
Next person is Mary Wells.
KPFK listener, and I just want to thank. Oh, okay. Thanks, Ursula, for the. About learning about the affiliate program and the Radio for the People. And to me, that exemplifies Pacifica's strength that an analog signal can play a vital role in underserved communities. And so I'd like to know more about that as a listener, whether we could maybe air some of those programs in their entirety or maybe just air part of the program, and also to provide some background about the community, their needs, or how was the program produced, or to even kind of get community feedback on was the programming able to affect change. And so maybe consider those airing affiliate programs maybe like as specials quarterly, or maybe just even have like a day of fundraising like we do for the archive program. Thank you.
Didon Kamathi.
Greetings and ready for the revolution. My name is Didon Kamathi. I've been involved with Pacifica since 1982, where I got busted in D.C. for a Klan demonstration, and my community service was work for PFW. From there, I've been consistently working, as well as under David Selnaker, National Executive Director, and Jack O'Dell, Chairman, the inclusion of people of color within the National Board, which was mandated in Los Angeles, which really set in motion a process that's culminating today. And all I can say is that, number one, the president mattered. I personally, Eva treated me really bad the first time I met her because I was demonized by the white, certain core white people as being anti-Semitic, anti-white, and so forth. She wouldn't even talk to me for 2 years because all this negative propaganda. But for us, and I'm representing the African community, we have series of meetings, at least 15 of us representing different organizations. So we have a collective position on KPFK and on what's going on with the present management. And we support the present management, number one, because it included the banned and fired African programmers back on the air and opened up airtime for African people, number one. And number two, in terms of our Native American Chicano Mexicanos, we understand the changing demographics of the United States. And by the inclusion of Spanish programming, we're challenging the right-wing Mexican-Spanish radio by providing an alternative political education to the expanded Chicano-Mexicano-Spanish-speaking population, that if we don't educate them, if we don't provide an alternative to the right-wing media from commercial Spanish programming, they may get caught up in being miseducated and part of the campaign being orchestrated by Bush, who speaks Spanish, to recruit this growing population to the right-wing cause. So we salute the present management for the inclusion of Africans, as well as for identifying Spanish-speaking people as a target for the progressive programming of Pacifica. We thank you very much.
Grace Heron.
Hello, my name is Grace Heron, and I'm on the local station board of KPFK. I was the chair of the board in 2006. I'm on the list of supporters of the statement that was read by the four people who came before me. And I'd like to say, first of all, that these are available and the Arbitron statistics are on the back. The reason I'm speaking right now is because, as chair, many paid and unpaid staff came to me with grievances in 2006 and they have continued to come to me with grievances in 2007. I'd like to say that those who voiced their grievances to me were not all white. They were of all different races and points of view. I'm very upset personally by the fact that I've reported these grievances time and time again to management, to the executive director, to the HR director, et cetera, and very little has been done to ameliorate them, to get into any kind of discussion about them. I think that this is not a good sign for a progressive organization. We should be honoring labor. We should be honoring our paid and unpaid staff. As was stated in this document, two-thirds of the unpaid unionized staff at KPFK took a vote of no confidence in the GM, and a lot of volunteer staff members also voiced grievances that have not been addressed adequately. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Grace, I think several members of the board were asking if you misspoke. You said, did you say unpaid?
Paid.
Okay, thank you. Jack Van Aken.
Paid and unpaid staff have come to me with grievances.
But the two-thirds is two-thirds.
Oh, I'm sorry, yes. Two-thirds of the unionized paid staff. Sorry.
Thank you.
Jack,
come on, let's have order. Jack Van Aken.
Hi, I'm Jack Van Aken. I'm the chairperson of the local station board at KPFK. I'm very happy to see so many listeners, staff, programmers here at this meeting. I used to have a website called Dogs of Now, and one of the frustrations I had was I thought, well, if people knew what was going on, they'd be down here in droves. And maybe if I had a little publicity on my website about all the controversies, but it had absolutely no impact. Numbers have dwindled down to almost nothing. Anyway, on to my pet topic for today. I'm a little bit distressed to hear the issue of access for the disabled used as a straw being placed on a camel's back, perhaps, of a political agenda. I've been meeting with members of our fantastic show on Access, Access Unlimited, for several years. They've had a proposal to install an elevator at KPFK that goes back to 02. And one of the things that developed, and in my education was very enlightening, was I learned that we can't really talk about ADA compliance. You can get around ADA compliance, and you can adopt a policy of ADA minimalism. And when people say, well, we want Pacifica to be fully compliant, I stop them and say, no, we want Pacifica to be fully accessible. So I know we will be getting some reports today from Francie Moeller, our ADA consultant. I hope everybody pays very close attention and keeps this principle in mind. It isn't what the law requires. It's what we're morally obligated to do.
Thank you. Eileen Goodman.
I'm a listener sponsor. Please hear me. Longtime programmers, please hear me. Look where we are, please. What was it? Be present, be in the here right now. Let's pay attention. Come on. What the hell is the matter with you folks? We've got longtime programmers, one after another, dumping on a general manager who I happen to think is wonderful. I have seen so many wonderful and good and new changes. We should be celebrating what's going on at our station here at KPFK. But instead, we're constantly being inundated with complaints about something in which when you sit back and you say, what is wrong? You never hear what is really wrong. Of course, you can give your opinion of what you think they think is wrong, but then again, they never say it. They piggyback off of some other trouble or some other problem or some other circumstance to make it sound as if that's what the concern is, and that's not the concern here. It is political. I am a listener sponsor. Please hear me. People who are successful in life, when they're interviewed, how did it happen? How did you make it? I had someone help me. I was sponsored. I was mentored. I was supported. For crying out loud, you people with your professionalism, be the mentors, be the guides, support our new vision, support this new governance. Remember the time we're living in. These airways do not belong to you, they belong to the communities. And if we pull together, maybe we'll be able to grow old together. Thank you.
Jane, you were the last on the list. Did you want to be the last to speak? Because there have been other people who have added on since then. Am I right about that? Okay. Tracy Larkin? Tracy Larkin.
Thanks for the opportunity to speak. There are about, I think, maybe four people in this room that were involved in the Pacifica struggle when I started, which was during the bombing of Kosovo by Bill Clinton with depleted uranium. I've been watching to see who it was on KPFK was putting pro-bombing of Kosovo guests on the air in 1999, and who took the community calendar off KPFK so that no one in Los Angeles knew that we were protesting every Saturday to try to stop that bombing. The people that have come up to the mic here criticizing the general manager are largely a group that have signed letters against the Free Pacifica struggle. They've signed letters keeping Mike Rupert and the truth about 9/11 off the air since 2002. They signed a Saul Landau Stop the Pacifica Bashing letter. A lot of them are from the LA Weekly. Some of them. They're connected to the LA Weekly. They're connected to the LA Weekly through Mark Cooper, who signed the letter along with several of them on March 3rd, 2002. Several of the people in the room here today signed that letter and did not come out and protest the bombing of Kosovo. And one of the people in this room that has been up to the mic here has broadcast pro-bombing guests on the air on KPFK, and that was what got me involved to struggle to democratize this network. And thank you all for running for the board and getting elected in the democratic process, that we had to fight them, those people that are up here now, fighting for their self-interest, for their airtime, not for uncensored programming, which is what I've been struggling for, because they are the censors. And they have been putting pro-war disinformation on the air for as long as I've been listening. So
time.
Please be wary and look at the backgrounds
time.
Of the people
time.
That you're hearing from.
Here Jane today. Doe.
No. Hey, ma'am,
can the you speak, let us have the speaker meeting? Avoided naming any names. Lila?
Hold it. Can y'all let us have the board?
Excuse me. Lila, you didn't use up your full 2 minutes. If you would like to speak at the end, you have about a minute of your time remaining. If you'd like to say something about it, you're welcome to. As to my bias, she was not making personal, she was not naming names, she was making an argument. Other people have made other similar kinds of arguments, and our attorney was talking about accusations toward our staff. Jane Doe?
First of all, I want to thank everybody in the room, audience, speakers, staff, people who have arguments. I happen to be an archivist and an educator and a volunteer. I'm also a nonprofit and work with trusts. There is a trust in perpetuity in this room. I want to speak back to Pacifica and Berkeley and San Francisco because that's where I grew up. And in the name of Alan Watts or in the name of the philosophies that are in the archives and the preciousness of saving that archive, I want to talk about new technology to all of you because I'm sick as somebody went to Berkeley of the fight. It's gone on since the beginning of Pacifica, and it'll probably go on because you are all individual thinkers for the rest of humanity's life, but there's also dirty water, dirty air, lack of funding, lousy banking, FCC problems, and the community can't even drive around this city because the development is so crummy, and it's putting big buildings up where you can't even get to the station to volunteer. There are a lot of issues here, but there are some new tools, and I want to bring up nonviolent communication by Marshall Rosenberg because it'll let people speak to differences and not go into arbitration and lawsuits, but it'll let people listen from their heart and get through to the root of the matter. There's a spiritual carrying that you all carry. It's a very, very noble thing, and it's huge, and that's why you're all here. So I want you to find some solutions in cooperative partnership and find out what's at the root of this fight because it's dirty and it's dark and it's probably been there forever, but it needs to transform the leadership here. And I'm asking that you get some new tools because they're out there. I read them on the internet, and thank you so much.
Thank you.
Christine Blasdale.
I'm Christine Blasdale, senior producer at KPFK, also union steward for the past four, going on 5 years. I wasn't going to speak today, but after hearing comments, I felt like I needed to. We're at a really critical time right now, checking what our government is doing. Every time I turn around, they're implementing some new law, taking away habeas corpus, introducing now surveillance. The reporters at KPFK are a very brave bunch. And the people that work at KPFK, I want to commend them all who are here right now. This divisive tactics of saying these people support 9/11 investigations, these people don't, you know, as one person who really does believe in my heart of my hearts that the Bush administration was behind the events of 9/11, I want to say that I support people who are challenging the 9/11 truth movement. They have that right. We have the right to also air 9/11 content that we believe is damaging to the government. I just want to say right now that the morale at KPFK is very low. We are looking at several lawsuits, not one, but two. The general manager's assistant has just filed a lawsuit. I will not get into the particulars of that, but if you do take a look at it, it's very concerning. My whole thing here, my representation of the union members, is to ensure that KPFK stay on the air. Because without KPFK, documentaries, people like Rupert, people like David Ray Griffin, people like Professor Jones, Fetzer, all of these people who are uncovering the involvement of the government, not only in 9/11, but in the future, this next thing that they are planning. They have everything in the works right now for martial law. And I'm really asking you to please put aside differences and to protect the station, whatever that means. I'm not going to tell you what that means. I'm not going to say to get rid of this person, to do this, to do that, but I am concerned. And even though the morale is very low, the staff have come through time and time again, no matter what has been hitting them, no matter what publicity, the bad publicity or negative things that have gone out in the press, they have come together to raise money. And it is the staff who work hour after hour bringing to the airwaves fundraisers that make over $1 million. Time. It is the staff. Time. And don't let anyone else tell you any differently. It is the staff members. And so please support the staff members when they come to you and when they come to the personnel committees. We are serious. Please listen to us. Thank you very much.
Jane, Lila's asked, or I've offered, and she's accepted the offer to take another minute of the time she didn't use. Do you want to speak before her or after? Jane, do you have a preference? Okay, go ahead, Lila. You have a minute remaining.
I don't know the woman who stood up and said that some of us are from the L.A. Weekly. I would like her to name names. No one who signed that document is from the L.A. Weekly. That is so absurd. Who is the programmer who put someone on the air who is pro-bombing? I would like to hear that name. All we attempted to do here, and surely you know this is true, is to point out a reality. We are losing masses of listeners. First of all, when you have a three-week fundraising stint, you lose your habitual listeners because they are just, they can't stand it. It is incredibly punitive. That's one of the reasons we're losing listeners. We're losing listeners because of our faulty signal. Now, for this, we're not blaming anybody, but much more imagination has to be used here to correct this really creeping monster, which is creeping north. I have a friend who yesterday, I will close with this, yesterday in Pacific Palisades called me and said, Lila, what's going on? I just turned on KPFK and I heard classical music from a Spanish station. Now, admittedly, it's a difficult problem, but we haven't done anything about it for 7 months. Why aren't we lobbying Ed Markey's Congress a committee that oversees the FCC? There are so many things we can be doing. Where is our executive leadership? That was our point. That was our only point.
Oh, excuse me. No. Excuse me. Excuse me. Excuse me. I'm out. Excuse me. Excuse me. I know I'm out of turn, and I understand the chair is trying to regulate this properly, but I'm going to say something that maybe the chair from way back can't deal with. The first lady that just came up, I yelled over her so that we could have some order. You were talking, young lady, and she came in and rudely made a complaint. You didn't name names. When she was just talking, you started heckling her. We're not going to have this nonsense. Hold it, hold it, hold it. I saw you heckling her. We've got to have this meeting and deal with what's happening at KPFK and throughout Pacifica, and we need your cooperation. No heckling.
Thank
you. Saying that as a board member. This is Thomas Ruffin from D.C. Remove me, hold me responsible, but I'm saying this. We've got to deal with this intelligently, and we need everybody's cooperation.
Thank you very much. I'm going to say what I said yesterday. You know, Claire Spark, former program director at KPFK, once told me that, you know, the mission didn't really mean that once we understood each other, we would agree. We're not going to agree. We have some fundamental disagreements, but it's on us to be able to work together through those. Jane? And Lila, the letter that was referenced, if you'd like to come, I have it up here. You can see the signatures on it.
Good afternoon. Excuse me. Good afternoon. This is all the voice I have. I'm sorry. I'm Jane Jackson. I'm an original Pacifica listener. And I think it's fortuitous that of the half a dozen caps, I chose to pick out the one that belongs to the Episcopal Church because I am a faith-based activist, and Alan Watts taught me much of what I know. He may have died a Buddhist, but he began as an Episcopal priest. That's all I have to say about what makes me who I am. I have no intention of saying anything about the issues of the ADA, of disability, accessibility, except that I lost my 2 minutes yesterday due to two horrendous violations of my civil rights. I'm here to explain to you why I look the way I do. And I will look the way I do until we close Guantanamo, we return the island to the people who own it, and in solidarity with all those who wear them against their will. And behind me, and I will turn around, a restaurant nearby who is a KPFK listener commented on my button. My button says, make hip-hop, not war. And the creator of that button was on KPFK yesterday, the Reverend Lennox Yearwood. So I will turn around so you can see the banner or the bandana they put on the back of my chair. I have a bag full of them on the back of my chair, and orange ribbons. The call has been to wear orange on Fridays. I call on all of you to put down whatever color it is you're wearing and wear orange, at least an orange armband, every day until we stop this madness. Here's the back of my shirt. They're $3 a piece. They go for a very good cause. I hope you join me. Thank you.
Thank you, Jane. And yes, Lorne?
Point of personal privilege. I just would like to say that there was a departure today from the usual listener comment where the chair actually commented about some of the statements that was made by the public and also asked our legal counsel to comment. And like I said, this is a departure from what we normally do. And in fact, if Dave can remember back in January 2004 when he disagreed with some of the listeners or programmers, I thought I saw a faint chalk outline on the below the balcony, because those individuals totally disagreed with what you said and they acted on it. But you know, again, I would like to say that that was a chilling effect, and I don't and I certainly don't support trying to refrain certain groups from saying things that are not. And I didn't deem to be derogatory, and then allowing the other side to make their statement with impunity. So thank you.
Thank you. Okay, we're going to break for lunch now. I'd like to see people back in their seats at 1:30. Wait. Before we do that, the general manager at KPFK has asked for 2 minutes for a brief response. Is there any objection from the board to give her the time to respond to things that were said about her?
I object because
this... You're out of order, Ken. Ken, you're out of order. Is there any objection from the board?
Yes.
Okay. Would the board like to take a vote on the matter? Is there a motion to allow her to speak?
Yes.
Okay. It's been seconded.
I move to table it during her general manager's report when I think that would be an appropriate venue.
Okay, there's a motion to table, which is not debatable. All those in favor, please raise your hand.
One, two.
All those opposed?
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, no.
Okay, it does not prevail. The motion's been made. It'll require 2/3 since it's an amendment of the agenda. All those in favor of granting either 2 minutes now, please raise your hand.
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight.
It's a violation of our bylaws, folks.
There's a point of order. What's your point of order?
It's a violation of the bylaws.
In what way?
We've never done this before.
Excuse me, can you cite what part of the bylaws? You're raising a point of order. What is the point of order?
I don't have the particular section in front of me.
Thank you. Okay, so the vote in favor of granting that time?
Was 10. 8.
Those 10. Opposed?
No, it wasn't. I thought you said 10.
Wait, I'm sorry. It was 10. I'm sorry. I read the wrong line here. And we didn't get, who is upon any more opposed? That's two.
Okay, so that's allowed. Go ahead, Eva.
Thank you. I just wanted to respond to some of the factually incorrect information put out here today. I do want to thank the programmers and the staff that has taken their time to come down here and express their concern. I also want to thank them for their dedication and the outstanding work they do at KPFK. There was the claim made that our subscriptions are down from 25K to 17. I can prove that that is incorrect. That there's a rotation that happens in public radio between different cycles where at times the listener ratings is lower, but we are not losing thousands of subscribers. Subscribers were stagnant before my management for 15 years at 10,000 subscribers. We basically ranging between 20 and 27,000. And Arbitron, Lonnie sitting here with the Arbitron, KPFK has increased its listeners or subscribership between spring 2006 to 2007 with 18,000 subscribers. That's the latest Arbitron. The transmitter of this document that's out there available that's been written by myself and Don Mussel that talks about everything, a lot of the issues we've dealt with and what we've done legally around getting our signal back from the station in San Diego. To the paid staff, yes, the morale is low. And yes, if we don't do things about the ongoing conflict and the instability in the station, we will continue to have problems. I also want you to know that KPFK has the signature union contract in AFTRA, and some of the issues that I know I've worked hard at was a 15% increase for paid staff over the last 3 years, that the staff do get cell phone reimbursements, that childcare is available, that's mileage reimbursement, that we included a pension fund over the last year. On the ADA stuff, we built brand new studios so that we can put in boards that is accessible for wheelchairs that cost thousands of dollars. We've widened the studio doors. We redid our parking lot. We just spent thousands of dollars on restoring the signal in Santa Barbara. And so those are some of the facts. Thank you very much.
Thank you. So if members could be back at 1:35 in their seats for the ADA report and training. Is Ms. Mueller here? Is Francie Mueller here yet? No? Okay. And if you guys could kill the mics, we'd appreciate it. Thank you.